Not long ago, comedian Conan O'Brien was in a bitter dispute with NBC. NBC had given him his dream job hosting The Tonight Show, then yanked it away from him just months later. That job went back to Jay Leno. Then Conan shocked the TV industry by announcing he was headed to a cable network. He makes his debut on TBS Tonight. As NPR's Elizabeth Blair reports, Conan O'Brien has a strategy to get the last laugh.
You gotta hand it to him. When he split with NBC, Conan O'Brien was legally prohibited from appearing on television. O'Brien told an audience at Google that he had no other choice but to start tweeting.
So I was just literally like a prisoner in a 14th century cell, writing little things on a scrap of paper and throwing them out the window.
Today, Conan O'Brien has more than 1.8 million followers on Twitter, and that created a groundswell of support for his national tour this summer, which he called Legally Prohibited from Being Funny on Television. O'Brien told the Google audience he didn't spend a dime on marketing. He says all it took was one tweet.
And the show sold out in a couple of hours across the country, and that's got everybody, a lot of people, rethinking how things are marketed.
I can't emphasize enough about that summer tour and how successful it was. It really re-energized his fan base.
Gina Piccolo of The Daily Beast says Conan O'Brien's tour was the perfect segue to his new show on TBS. She thinks his joining George Lopez will give the cable network not only a new late-night lineup, but a major audience boost.
I think it'll be huge. I mean, George Lopez has been there a long time, and I think he has his audience.
Welcome to TBS, and really, welcome to TBS. Basic Cable.
It's thrilling. Basic Cable.
But I think Conan brings a rabid fan base, and a young, rabid fan base.
I never heard Basic Cable get shrieks of excitement.
TBS head of programming Michael Wright says, of course they're hoping Conan's rabid young fans head their way.
There are a lot of Conan fans who might not have known about TBS, who now might now sample the network.
To promote his new show, Conan O'Brien's been using social media constantly. And he set up a Coco Cam, a surveillance camera of his offices, where fans could watch silly skits, like a dancing taco. And exclusively online, he gave a little taste of what his new show might look like, a teeny tiny version of it.
Here to play the first chord off their self-titled album, please welcome Steel Train.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Conan O'Brien is excited about his new show, but still bitter about the old one. In the end, though, it looks like losing that dream job on The Tonight Show might turn out to be a blessing.
People don't even know how the business is going to change. There might not be really network television as we know it. Wouldn't that be sweet?
Conan premieres tonight on TBS. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
Good morning, I'm Renee Montaigne. You can like her, but you can't be her friend. She would be the Queen of England. This morning, the British monarchy officially joined Facebook. Fans won't be able to personally friend request the Queen or poke her, but you can follow her daily engagements, see pictures of her, maybe her corgis, the usual stuff people like to post. Except, of course, other people's photos don't feature the crown jewels. You're listening to Morning Edition.
Conan O'Brien got his first TV talk show when he succeeded David Letterman as host of NBC's Late Night in 1993. More than a decade later, Conan got his second TV talk show when he succeeded Jay Leno as host of NBC's Tonight Show. That job lasted less than a year before Conan walked away and Leno was reinstated. Last night, Conan O'Brien returned to TV as the host of Conan, his new talk show series on the basic cable network TBS. Our TV critic, David Bianculli, has this review.
Thank you, and welcome to my second annual first show.
They say you never get a second chance to make a good first impression. But if you're a TV talk show host, that rule doesn't hold. Every time you launch a new show, you get more attention and more reviews, and usually more viewers, than at almost any other time. But after that opening night, as viewers decide what's changed and what hasn't, and what's appealing and what isn't, things start to level off quickly. The first time Conan hosted a talk show, virtually no one knew who he was, so he was building his comic identity from scratch and without much support from NBC. The second time, when he inherited The Tonight Show, ratings for the first few nights were very solid, But then, the more conservative viewing audience decided Conan was an acquired taste they were in no hurry to acquire. Conan tried to book and alter the show to appeal to the mainstream, but didn't succeed, and once again, didn't get much support from NBC. But now, he's on basic cable, where things are just a little looser, and where Conan O'Brien can play to his audience, doing what he wants to do. That's the theory. But in practice, in Monday's opening show, there seemed to be more constraints and stiffness, not less. This was Conan's third chance to make a good first impression, and I'm sorry to say, this time, he fell flat. As flat as the interview segments, which were painful to watch. The celebrity guests for opening night of Conan were Seth Rogen, seemingly a solid gold booking for Conan's college-age stoner fans, and Lea Michele, the star of Glee, who has similarly strong appeal for a younger audience. And the musical guest was Jack White, who played an old rockabilly tune with Conan and the show's basic cable band. The music was fine and energetic and fun. The conversations were not. Both guests were guided, rather awkwardly, through their prepared stories. Seth Rogen talked about proposing to his girlfriend and joked about the ease of getting a prescription for medical marijuana in California. Lea Michele talked about no one being aware of her singing talent until she tried out for her first Broadway audition, a story that lost its punch when she explained that at the time she was 8 years old. Conan also asked about her recent sexy photos in GQ magazine, but that was only to set up a bit where a high school picture of himself was inserted into that photograph. But hey, at least it was a visual. Otherwise, the guests arrived empty-handed. Rogen was promoting his next movie, but didn't have a clip because the movie is still 2 months away. And Lea Michele didn't show a clip from tonight's installment of Glee because, well, I don't know why. What I do know is that the parts worth watching, much less remembering from the first installment of Conan, were few. The opening filmed piece, which traced his move from NBC to TBS, was okay, but not the caliber you'd expect from a piece they had months to prepare. I still remember how Conan opened his version of The Tonight Show, running across the country because he'd forgotten to move from New York to L.A. I liked Conan's musical and vocal duet with Jack White on Eddie Cochran's 20 Flight Rock, and I liked portions of Conan's monologue, where, on occasion, he delivered the sort of warped perspective that I've come to expect.
The weird thing is this, though. I put myself and my staff through this crazy huge ordeal, all because I refused to go on at midnight. Okay? And so I work, you know, and then I get this job at 11. It's supposed to be a big deal. Then yesterday, daylight savings time ended. Right now, it's basically midnight. What the hell is that all about? I'm an idiot.
But the rest? Andy Richter, returning as sidekick, added better conversational ad-libs than Conan did. But their exchanges often seem to exclude rather than embrace the audience. And all that fuss last night about the background set with its three-dimensional moving moon? That reminded me of opening night on Chevy Chase's talk show on Fox, where he made a big deal of having a real tropical fish tank behind him with real tropical fish. It quickly became obvious on that show that the fish were the only thing worth watching. If the scenery on Conan is more fun than the guests, and on opening night it was, something is starting out very, very wrong.
David Bianculli is founder and editor of TVWorthWatching.com and teaches TV and film history at Rowan University in New Jersey.
It's a thrill to have this gentleman on our first show. Please welcome our good friend, Mr. Jack White.
You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Joan Tui Westman, Sam Brigger, John Myers, John Sheehan, Lauren Krenzel, and Heidi Simon. I'm Terry Gross. Conan O'Brien got his first TV talk show, and he succeeded David Letterman as host of NBC's Late Night in 1993. More than a decade later, Conan got his second TV talk show when he succeeded Jay Leno as host of NBC's Tonight Show. That job lasted less than a year before Conan walked away and Leno was reinstated. Last night, Conan O'Brien returned to TV as the host of Conan, his new talk show series on the basic cable network TBS. Our TV critic, David Bianculli, has this review.
Thank you, and welcome to my second annual first show.
They say you never get a second chance to make a good first impression. But if you're a TV talk show host, that rule doesn't hold. Every time you launch a new show, you get more attention and more reviews, and usually more viewers, than at almost any other time. But after that opening night, as viewers decide what's changed and what hasn't, and what's appealing and what isn't, things start to level off quickly. The first time Conan hosted a talk show, virtually no one knew who he was, so he was building his comic identity from scratch and without much support from NBC. The second time, when he inherited The Tonight Show, ratings for the first few nights were very solid. But then, the more conservative viewing audience decided Conan was an acquired taste they were in no hurry to acquire. Conan tried to book and alter the show to appeal to the mainstream, but didn't succeed, and once again, didn't get much support from NBC. But now, he's on basic cable, where things are just a little looser, and where Conan O'Brien can play to his audience, doing what he wants to do. That's the theory. But in practice, in Monday's opening show, there seemed to be more constraints and stiffness, not less. This was Conan's third chance to make a good first impression, and I'm sorry to say, this time, he fell flat. As flat as the interview segments, which were painful to watch. The celebrity guests for opening night of Conan were Seth Rogen, seemingly a solid gold booking for Conan's college-age stoner fans, and Lea Michele, the star of Glee, who has similarly strong appeal for a younger audience. And the musical guest was Jack White, who played an old rockabilly tune with Conan and the show's basic cable band. The music was fine and energetic and fun. The conversations were not. Both guests were guided, rather awkwardly, through their prepared stories. Seth Rogen talked about proposing to his girlfriend and joked about the ease of getting a prescription for medical marijuana in California. Lea Michele talked about no one being aware of her singing talent until she tried out for her first Broadway audition, a story that lost its punch when she explained that at the time she was 8 years old. Conan also asked about her recent sexy photos in GQ magazine, but that was only to set up a bit where a high school picture of himself was inserted into that photograph. But hey, at least it was a visual. Otherwise, the guests arrived empty-handed. Rogen was promoting his next movie, but didn't have a clip because the movie is still 2 months away. And Lea Michele didn't show a clip from tonight's installment of Glee because, well, I don't know why. What I do know is that the parts worth watching, much less remembering from the first installment of Conan, were few. The opening filmed piece, which traced his move from NBC to TBS, was okay, but not the caliber you'd expect from a piece they had months to prepare. I still remember how Conan opened his version of The Tonight Show, running across the country because he'd forgotten to move from New York to L.A. I liked Conan's musical and vocal duet with Jack White on Eddie Cochran's 20 Flight Rock, and I liked portions of Conan's monologue, where, on occasion, he delivered the sort of warped perspective that I've come to expect.
The weird thing is this, though. I put myself and my staff through this crazy huge ordeal, all because I refused to go on at midnight. Okay? And so I work, you know, and then I get this job at 11. It's supposed to be a big deal. Then yesterday, daylight savings time ended. Right now, it's basically midnight. What the hell is that all about? I'm an idiot.
But the rest? Andy Richter, returning as sidekick, added better conversational ad-libs than Conan did, but their exchanges often seemed to exclude rather than embrace the audience. And all that fuss last night about the background set with its three-dimensional moving moon? That reminded me of opening night on Chevy Chase's talk show on Fox, where he made a big deal of having a real tropical fish tank behind him with real tropical fish. It quickly became obvious on that show that the fish were the only thing worth watching. If the scenery on Conan is more fun than the guests, and on opening night it was, something is starting out very, very wrong.
David Bianculli is founder and editor of TVWorthWatching.com and teaches TV and film history at Rowan University in New Jersey.
It's a thrill to have this gentleman on our first show. Please welcome our good friend, Mr. Jack White.
You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Joan Tui Westman, Sam Brigger, John Myers, John Sheehan, Lauren Krenzel, and Heidi Simon. I'm Terry Gross. You wait.